Let's begin today by turning to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 3. It says, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." And again, when you see all caps there, Lord, that's God's name, Yahweh. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked in the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them." There was bodies put together, but without breath. And he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." And I want us to think about the picture of what was being prophesied here, these dead bones. And then even that God had the prophecy go forth that the bones were put together, bodies were formed, but yet without the breath, they were still dead. So often in our lives, what we find as we live, we are like these dry bones. We are like these bodies without life, without breath. Though put together, we're dead. The emptiness of life, the inability to be the things that God created us to be, seeing in our lives that we are missing the more that God intended. But see, he didn't leave them just the bones, just created. He had it prophesied that the breath would come and breathe life. And God's heart to you, wherever you are, in your heart, in your mind, and where you are in your life, God's desire is to come and breathe in you a freshness of his life. That where you are dead, there is life to be found in him. Turn with me over to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Notice here in verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He formed him, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." That's kind of intimate, isn't it? The picture that God has in creating mankind in his image, forming him from the dust of the ground, and then breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. Doesn't that create just an image? What do you see in your mind's eyes? You think about what God is relaying, that God humbled himself to form man. God humbles himself to shape. And then God humbled himself and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life.
Almighty CPR.
Chauncey said almighty CPR. I think that was mouth to mouth though. But I think of just the intimacy that God is expressing in this process of care, of concern, and of breath. The breath of God in you. On John chapter 6, Jesus spoke these words in verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. "It is the Spirit who gives life." Verse 63, John 6, 63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And this is what we're seeing here in Genesis 2 and what we're seeing in Ezekiel. You know, you put the whole body together, But without the breath, without the Spirit, the flesh, what can we do? God is teaching us through the things that He's saying, there has to be this breath in you. There is more than just the flesh, that this body, this life, there is more to you that God wants to have in you for you to be alive. It is His breath. He says, the words I speak to you, they're Spirit and they're life. Breathe on me, Word of God. Soft and still inside my heart. Breathe on me. Last few weeks we've been talking about tabernacling, at the Feast of Tabernacling, talking about the permanency of where God wants His home and His place of rest, talking about what God wants for us and where He wants to dwell. Those verses we said in John 14, we read verses 23-24 there. It said, if you love me and keep my word, it says that the Father and I, Jesus speaking, would come and make our home with you. We read at the feast from Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said, I humbled them, I put them in the wilderness to make them hungry, to test them, to see that they would know that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That he does not live by bread, but by that word. And we've been considering Isaiah 66 that says, where's the home you're going to build for me? All these things my hands have made, what do you do? But to this one will I love, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. God wants us to see the importance, the absolute necessity of His Word in our life. That our life is composed of what comes out of His mouth. That we do not live by bread alone, but what proceeds out of His mouth. What He can breathe into us, what He can give to us in the very intimate ways that God does. Do you realize what a blessing it is that we have this written Word? Written Word. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Does anybody else have a different phrase there in your Bible? In my translation it says, is given by inspiration of God. Does anybody else have a different translation there? All Scripture is given by God's breath. God's breath. That's literally what that means. When we read in the New King James Version, inspired by God, it's saying God breathed it. Now, it's important to understand because as we're talking about the necessity of God breathing things alive, and this Word being Spirit and life, that Jesus spoke that what is written in this book is to be something of life to you and me. This Word is not just going through an intellectual study of the literature of the Bible and understanding what is being said. This Word, when put inside, has life-changing power. It is very intimately done by God. The Spirit and the Word are consistent. The Spirit is in the Word. The Word and the Spirit understanding that what God is doing in us, He's breathing exactly what He wants. Friends, when you go out and look at the sky and you see the sun and the moon and the stars, when you look at the hills and the mountains, do you know that those things came from nothing because God breathed it so? He breathed it so. He spoke it and it existed. Everything that was made, He breathed it out. That's how it came to be. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be separation in the firmaments. It was so. Let there be seeds that bring forth fruit. It happened. You read Genesis 1, and you see what God is doing there, you should be getting real excited when you realize we've got a whole book to go here. Because what was spoken is life-changing. What is spoken to us in here will take us from wherever we are today to the place God wants us to be. When He formed you from the beginning, it was with a plan to create you in His image and in His likeness. And the words that He speaks in this book are the creative words that will take you into that image. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and very much even physically before God. It's an amazing thing that is happening. In all this body of vanity, God is working out a creative process to transform us into His image to the day of Christ's return, to the day of the redemption of this body. God is changing us. God is creating in us by what He speaks. I'm going through all this because I want you to have a sense of necessity. How important is breath to you? How long can you live without it? You see, it is necessity to us, right? We need this. This word is necessity. That was what God was saying. I had to teach them. I had to humble them. I took them to the wilderness where there was no food and there was no water. Why? I needed to show them that what they thought was the most important thing they needed was not. It was my word. So we have such a precious gift. We have this written word. We can all look at it here and share it today. But God is saying, I need you to see this first. My word is what really sustains you, gives you life, your provision, your protection. It's what clothes you. It's what feeds you. It's what gives you everything that you really need. God wanted the Israelites to know that. He wants us to know that. We sojourn in these bodies because God wants to humble us so we understand what is it we really need. Because so often we can try to change ourselves in the flesh. We can try to transform our lives by our own will and power, even our pride. But what changes us is God's Word. And He has spoken the words that will change us if we allow Him in to our lives. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 11 says, in Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we go into the Bible, and I want to strongly encourage you to think about this word as just what God says it is. It is something He breathed for you and me, and it's something He is still breathing in us today when we allow Him in. When we open this word and we read it like we're doing right now, what really is happening is one of the most very intimate things that can happen between God and His creation. When He says it's a discerner of the hearts and the minds, He's saying we're going to strip away what is the barrier between us to get honest about where we are in life. And the thing is, God's Word will do this. And God promised through Jesus Christ that God would send His Spirit to lead us and guide us into truth. That we would understand that Christ would be testified, that we would see who He is in our lives, that this Word would be life to us. But what He is wanting to do is come in and create something completely new in you and me. Something so transforming. As powerful as God's words were in creating the heavens and the earth, God's Word is still so powerful today in making everything about your life new. Everything. And God is saying, I want to change you. I want to transform you. I made you for a purpose, that my Word would have life within you. This is so vital, because with each word we read, we are allowing God the opportunity. We're saying, breathe in me. Breathe in me. I'm ready for breath. Breathe in me your life, God, and I will be living at last. No more dead bones. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Just want to pick up a verse here in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The transformation in your life and my life from being a person who just lives a life like anybody else to a person who lives by faith and not by sight happens through the intimacy of God breathing it in us. His breath in His spoken word and in this written word is transforming us to have faith. That process of life. So to have faith, we have to hear it, but then what we must do is believe what He says. The intimacy of life is to know and trust that this word is life, that this word is spirit to you and life, that when it comes in, it is not meant to just go in and be an intellectual exercise, but an exercise where God is producing something in you through it. The question is, will you and I, you and me, will we allow Him to do His work in us? Will we allow Him to breathe in us and to speak in us what might not be consistent with our hearts today? Turn with me over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Notice here beginning in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord." Isn't that interesting? That when he's saying, seek the Lord while he may be found, he's saying, to do this, you have to forsake your way and your thoughts. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? We like what we like. We want to think what we want to think. We value our opinions highly. I don't know when it starts. Maybe it's just we're born with it. We have this thing in us that we like our own ways of doing things. We like our own thoughts about things, and we value them very highly. And that's why you have so many arguments, disputes, questions throughout the world. Because we value what we think. But the process of beginning this relationship with God and allowing God to create something new actually begins by being willing to say, I'm going to forsake. I'm going to let go of my ways and my thoughts. Because if we don't, what happens is every time God tries to breathe in a spot, do you know what happens? Back off. We push Him out. We read over it. We don't want to take that into our lives or into our consciousness. We don't want God to breathe in that area because we like what we have there. And so often we deceive ourselves into thinking, no, that is what God wants. But maybe it's not. There has to be an honesty before God if He's going to breathe into our hearts and our minds new life. An honesty to forsake our thoughts and our ways. Notice, let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What does God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. Most of the issues that we have is we just keep wanting to fight God as somehow we know better. You know, I like that commandment. I don't like that commandment. I don't think we really need to do that one anymore. Somehow we figured we know better. My ways are better. My thoughts are better. See, whenever you're going through the Bible, it's like, oh yeah, oh no. If that one's hitting you with the rope, that's where you really need to be honest. You've got the other ones going. It's where you need to be honest with what God is trying to breathe. There has to be an honesty before God's Word. For as heavens are higher than the earth, verse 9, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. But now notice what he says, for as the rains come down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but they water the earth, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. I'm going to breathe on you, and it's going to change you. It's going to take what's barren, and it's going to put life in it. It's going to take that ground, and it's going to make it fruitful. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. What God breathes out, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Doesn't that get you excited to think about that this is the way God is thinking? He's saying, David, Scott, Garrett, Rob, you guys don't know it all. Your ways aren't my ways. Your thoughts aren't my thoughts. The way you approach this isn't the way it needs to be. I thought I could include him. Is that all right? And God is saying, my ways are so much higher. My thoughts are so much higher. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send my word into you. I'm going to breathe it into you. And it's not going to return to me void. Do you realize that what God is saying is that if we say, okay, God, I'm letting go of my thoughts and my ways. I want it conformed to your word. This is what I want. I want your spirit in me. Bring it on. That what God is saying is that what He's going to do in your life can't be stopped. Do you know where the stopping ground is? It's right here. You and me. We're the stopping ground. God is ready and willing. His ways are higher. He can make it happen. He can create as much as He made this planet to produce and be vital and have living creatures and everything that's needed for the whole system. He's going to do that in your life. It's assured. It's a promise. God's word is sure and true in your life. It will change you. It will transform you. We just got to let it happen. We got to let the rains come in. We got to get rid of the umbrellas in our lives. Where we say we don't want water touching us here. Where we want to stay dry when we need to get wet. Where we try to harden our ground and not let Him do something. Friends, cut to the chase in life. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is man's all. Cut to the chase. To whom does God look? But to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at His word. Do you know what word? In other places it's translated to be afraid. You ever think about what does that mean? He says, to tremble at my word. To whom will I look? To him who is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Do you see this word? Something like, I can't live without you, God. And what you say is everything to me. So that's really what he's saying when he says, you tremble. You say, I don't want to do anything against it. This is the way. When you tremble at the word, you're saying, this is it. And in the light of that, of understanding who God is and what He's speaking is so true and life-giving and love-giving and everything that you want to be in life, the reasons that you're made, you tremble before it because you know if you're living apart from this, well, then you're not being who you were made to be. You're not doing what you were called to do. You are living in ways that produce not life, but death. Not spirit, but flesh. Do you see that? The attitude of trembling before God's word is to say, this is it. See, the realization, the faith that we have in the word of God is that we know there is no other way. If we think there's another way, then we're right back to our own thoughts and our own ways. Will we be honest before God's word to read what it says? Will we be honest before God's word to ask Him to breathe it into our lives? Will we be honest to say, this is it? And if I'm speaking and living contrary to it, I'm the one at fault. I'm the one stopping this progress. God's word is living. That's why Jesus said, hold your place here for a minute, Isaiah. Turn with me back to John 14 that we read here a couple weeks ago. I just want to read it again. Because again, we are talking about some of the most intimate things in our relationship with God, and the way intimacy works is by having a unity of heart and mind together. And when He speaks these words in verse 23, He says, if anyone loves me, intimate, right? If you really care about God, if you really love God, He will keep my word. If anyone loves me, He will keep my word. The intimacy of the relationship. And my Father will love him, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. God desires to breathe into you and me life itself in every way that we think and live, to know what it is to live in the image and likeness of God. When He said He gave some apostles, some pastors, some prophets, some teachers in Ephesians 4, He said, why? For the work of ministry, right? For the equipping of the saints, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is your mind where that is? Because when you realize why He gave gifts, why He gave teaching, why He gave ministry, what it is He wants in your life, that's the mold. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you see that where God is taking you is to that place? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, I heard sculptors who sculpt big blocks of things, or wooden sculptors who sculpt with wood, but stone sculptors, what they do is they have to picture what it is there already in the block, and then they're not drawing or sculpting what they want. What they're really doing is just chipping away everything that's not. An interesting concept. You have to say, well, that doesn't belong. Bam, it goes off. So they take their chisels and they work everything away that doesn't look like the image that they're trying to create. And you know that as you look to God and God breathes within you, that what He is doing is showing you through the Word and by His Spirit who Jesus is. That we would know Him. That we would see Him. It's not a matter, like Lynn was reading in Philippians 3, it's not a matter of my righteousness, my works, my anything. It's a matter of having Christ formed in me. This, my friends, is the hope of glory, that Christ be manifest within us. And when we look to Him and we look to His Word and His ways, basically the stuff of life that's not fitting in has to get chopped. Will you let it be chopped? Will you let it be chiseled away? Will you let it go? Because here's what our flesh wants to do. Wait a minute, you're going to do what? I need that block back. Right? Put it back in place. I don't like what you did here. Bam. Now we're not looking so much like the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We look more like David. Or whoever you are. The Word of God can take a planet being void and without form in Genesis 1:1 to being a place of beautiful existence by Genesis 2. The Word of God will do the same for you. The thing about the planet seems to be have been submissive to the whole process. The thing about you and me, it's a little tougher. Because God gave us will. God gave us choice. God gave us the ability to say no. And therein lies what we must realize. That we have the will to say, I want my way and my thought. And what that does is say, I'm no longer being of a poor and contrite spirit, and I'm no longer trembling at your word. That's what we're saying. When we refuse to let God's word have a full and final say in our lives. Now friends, I'm not talking about an intellectual say or an intellectual speaking. I am talking about the transformation that happens when God breathes something in and you receive it with faith. So you can say, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus paid the price for my sins. You can say that Jesus, you know, is my life. But then, if you're still living in shame and guilt from sin, the evidence is that hasn't breathed new life in you. If you see in your life the things that are spoken are not matching up, That is where you have to be honest in the intimacy of the relationship when you come to a realization that maybe you haven't let go of your sins to God. Because really what you're saying is, Jesus, I know you can, but my sin is greater than you. How do you forgive what I've done? Or what someone else has done? Or you say, I'm not holy. I'm not accepted. I'm not the righteousness of God. See, these aren't just sayings in the Bible, friends. When he said that you, by the work of Christ, are holy and accepted in the Beloved, when you say no, what are you really saying? I don't believe that. So, how does the creative process work if we don't let it begin with Christ's work in our lives? It's not just about confessing our sinfulness and that we're sinners. It's also about confessing Christ and the saving work that He's done to impute His righteousness to us. You have to let Him do what He's going to do. But that means that the words that we read are not just an intellectual exercise of what He does. It's a heart experience where He breathes it new. You, my friends, by belief and faith in Christ, are removed from the crimson stains of sin. You, my friends, by belief and faith in Christ, are made white and clean by His work, by His righteousness, by faith in that. You have to believe it. And what happens in life is sometimes you can say the words that you believe it, but the things and actions in your life reflect quite the opposite. You can say this is the valued word of God. This is important. Does anybody in this room think you shouldn't be spending time reading God's written word? Does anybody in here that thinks that? Okay. So I would assume then, based on your varying degrees of belief in that, that everybody is doing it every day with a voracious attitude. And yet I know there's struggle to do that. The thing you must ask in honesty before God is, why is that? Don't run from it. Don't excuse it. Just say, why is it? Because when you find that your life is not matching up to the things you say you should believe in, then you have to stop and say, something is disconnected here. And that's where the trembling should begin. When you say that what I know and what I can confess that I believe with my mouth is not a reality in my life, you have to say, is there some disconnect then between the Word of God living in me as opposed to just being the theory that I believe or would mentally assent to? You can agree with something with your head. It doesn't mean it's going to take shape in your life. But that's what has to happen. That's what God wants to happen. Turn now back to Isaiah, where we were. Isaiah chapter 55, where I asked you to hold your places. So he says, so my word that goes forth, verse 11, from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In other words, he's saying, when this is happening in your life, when you are allowing me to be intimate with you and breathing, you are going to see these things. You're going to see the joy. You're going to see the peace. You're going to see the blessings and not the thorny things. And if you're saying my life is just a continual field of thorns and thistles and weeds, then friends, let's just be honest about it. Something's wrong. Because either God's word's not true, which I'm going to discount that, or my life isn't reflective of this. Which says, something in me is not poor and contrite, something in me is not trembling at His word, it's not taking life in me. Just be honest about it. Because once we're honest, now we can start to ask the questions and allow God to do the revealing that has to take place in our lives for why we are rejecting and why we're not allowing Him in, and then He can begin to do the work. Friends, repentance We're coming to a confession of who we are before God, or where we might not be coming into the fullness of what He has planned for us, is not an exercise that God needs to go through. Not in the sense that He doesn't know what's going on. All of this is to prick us. This word, this message to you today is pricking you to say, where are you finding there not being a flow of what God has promised in His Word happening in your life? So that we can look and be honest and say, maybe I'm not letting it happen there. Now, as someone who gets to have relationships with a lot of people, it's amazing how many times it's just a simple matter of God's Word not finding a place and a fit in life that will allow the blessing to come. What did He say in James 1? He said, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because we can read it and say we agree with it, but if we don't do it, how can we expect blessing to come? Knowing what it says to do is not the charge. But He says, but he who looks at this perfect law of liberty and does it, what does it say? He'll be blessed in what he does. Guys, take away the canvases that block the eyes. Ask God to strip it away and show us the whole truth. The reality is, this is actually kind of simple. What's complicated it is sinfulness, doubt, fear, and unbelief. It keeps us where we are instead of in the places where God wants us to be. God is so vested in you. God loves you so much. He is wanting to be involved. So often God comes close to us and He's saying, I just want to breathe some life into you. I see you're struggling here. Let me just breathe life. You're so focused on what's going on in the flesh, you're failing to look at me right now. You're worshiping your problems and your sins more than me. And He just wants to say, life. He just wants to breathe some life. He wants to rejuvenate your spirit. Friends, when He does that, don't say no. Let Him come in. Let Him have His place. Make your life a place where God is at peace to blow on you whenever He wants. That's what He wants. He wants to keep breathing on you. He wants to keep filling you. He wants to make you the person He called you to be. It's awesome. It is awesome what God wants to do in your life and how valuable this Word is. Now we're going to stop this subject, God willing. If I'm alive in here and you are here next week, we will continue this subject. Because God promised in His Word certain things that would happen in your life if His Word was present in you. And I want to share some of that with you. The transforming way of God in your life, the way God ministers to us by His breath to breathe life into us.